Blog Talk Radio.
Divorced or she left and she went and married another man,
He couldn't come back to her first husband. And Israel did that with the Most High by going off and worshiping other gods and then trying to come back to the Most High. By the law, she could not be taken back. Now, I needed to search on the scriptures, Judah, and I'll do that, you know, while maybe the so far is playing, because I know I read it in the scriptures where the Most High also divorced Judah. It's a common teaching that, you know, he divorced Israel but didn't divorce Judah, sort of just separated from Judah. But I believe I read it in the scriptures, and I should have found it before now, but read it in the scriptures where he actually did divorce Judah as well. And so we're going to look into that on this morning, but we're going to see, what did the Most High do? What did he do to where he could take Judah or Israel back as a wife and not break his own law? Okay, because it's important, because by his law, he could not do that. According to his law, he could not do that. So we want to look into this morning, and it just shows us what an awesome and mighty Elohim we serve, and that his ways are beyond finding out, because he has capabilities cannot do. Okay. And so, you know, one of the questions I want to ask everyone as before we start and go into prayer, I want you to think about this. Is it legal for a son to take his former, is it legal for a son to take his father's former wife as a wife? Let me ask that question again. Because see, these are the things that are kind of going on or appear to be going on in the scripture. Is it legal for a son to take his father's former wife? Sure. Okay, let me turn up your volume. Say that again. Sister Mary. Okay, let me turn up your volume because it's hard to hear you. Okay. Say what you said again.
I don't.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Turn up the volume on your mic on your end, because you guys are being hard, at least for me, you're hard to be heard. Okay. Say that again, Sister Denise. Well, I didn't say his mother. I said his father's former wife. She would be she could be considered what, his stepmother? If he was born at that time. Okay, if you had a child, or if your husband had a child, but you weren't, let me make sure I set this up correctly. And I just want us to consider this, okay? You and a man get married. You two have no children. You get divorced. He later has a child, a son, and then his son marries you. Is that legal? Just asking the question, okay? Because I want us to consider what is going on, and when we have certain doctrines, what we are approving. or not approving, okay? And Sister Lorena, it looks like you turned on your mic. Did you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't think they do.
Okay. All right, so we're going to look at these things because if you believe that Messiah is 1,000% the son of Elohim as a separate being, and Messiah takes Israel and the church to be his wife, did these not formerly belong to as who we would call the Father? We got to leave the church out of it for a minute. Was Israel the Most High's wife? And the answer to that question would be yes. If Messiah comes and takes Israel as a wife, did he take the Most High, who was formerly the Most High's wife, as his wife, being the son? Well, but does the world believe that? So you see the conundrum that it throws up? The problem that it presents itself? If Messiah is a separate being, separate and apart from the Most High, as the son of Elohim, and then he takes the father's wife, does that present a problem? Just food for thought, okay? So think on that thing, because we will be dealing partly with that today, and we'll be dealing with what the Most High actually did. Amen? These are things that, because the world does not really think through what is going on, the word of the Most High, they can make it say things that it's not saying, and then it causes the word of the Most High to become corrupt. Well, not his word corrupt, but their understanding of his word is what corrupt. So we're going to deal with this because part of what he did for our salvation also allowed him to take Israel back as a bride in that relationship where the law did not allow it. So I hope that I can paint this here this morning so that you can clearly see that this is what is going on. And what we have to understand, how marvelous are his ways, that they are hard to be figured out. And if you believe certain things, then you inherently inject certain understanding into the scriptures. You inject those understandings by the doctrine that you believe. Okay, so we want to make sure that clearly what is going on and what he has done, and that he has not contradicted his word, he has not broken his word, it's not corrupt or anything like that. But what he did, actually, only he could do it, and he did it in such a way that it doesn't break his laws, but it allows him to take Israel back and to take us. Okay, so we're going to get into this on this morning. So we're going to start this thing off. We're going to do our statement of faith. And I pray, as I said, I pray that each and every one of you contemplate that. Because if Messiah, he's declared to be the son of Elohim, He's also declared to that the church will be is related to him as a bride. Now the church is separate from Israel in a way. But Israel also is the church, and the church is joining Israel. So if the Most High took Israel back, how did he do that without breaking his own law? We're going to see what the law requires and walk through this thing so that we know that the Most High is true to his word. He does things that no man can do. That's why when they were trying to trap Messiah, every time you see the Pharisees or the Sadducees deal with Messiah, they're trying to do it in a way to trap him, to try to make him contradict the law. And when we, what we believe is important, okay? It's very important what we believe and why we believe it. And so if we believe that it's okay for the son of Elohim to take as a wife, a former wife of Elohim, then that would be a problem. That would be a big problem. Okay, so let's deal with this subject matter on this morning. Let us do our statement of faith on this morning. We have the ladies who cover their heads, men uncover your heads. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Let us all turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 20-29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. We just magnify you on this day, Father, and we lift thee up. And we adore thee, Father. We bow down and we worship you on this morning, and we honor you in keeping your Shabbat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for this morning, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And I will personalize this. If we sin against thee, starting in verse 46, not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, and saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. And hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us, people in thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the land, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the more so doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
fire, don't give out the warning. So I shall show and dear baby king. What about the last Moses bring? It's a light to prevent from other things. I love the most I deep within. Away with all those bad doctrines. Papa said, but he starts his things. Papa,
all the prophets of the Bible, first sent from the Most High, are they Hebrew?
Deuteronomy 28 verse 68. And the Most High shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I speak unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. Egypt. Yeah man. This is talking about the spiritual Egypt, America, the house of bondage.
Oh. That's how our Western journey began.
Yeah, man. Israel gone captivity for breaking your law. We were driven out of Israel by the Roman Empire. Seek them refuge in our West Africa. Then the Arab and the Amite sold us to Esau. Then focus on the slave ship to America. Enslave us, fire on the slave master. But the scripture said you must be a fierce slaughter. For the iniquities of your forefathers.
Your love is wonderful. Your love is beautiful.
The Most High can't die as a spirit. So once you marry something, it's forever. Because there is no death. Either he would have to die, or that thing that he married would have to die for that relationship to come to an end. Now, the Most High said that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that Israel would always have, as long as there was stars in the sky, as long as heaven existed, as long as the earth existed, that Israel would be on the face of the earth. He said, if these things stop, so will Israel stop being in a relationship with me, okay, being associated with me as the Most High Elohim. So when he divorces Israel and puts Israel away, and Israel goes and marries another God, another Elohim, they start worshiping and praying and bowing down to and dedicating themselves to another God, then by his own word, he has married another entity, Israel. And he would know, by his law, he would not be able to take her back because she laid with another. And so that's a problem. And he being eternal, that's a problem. So he has to be able to, there has to be a way out of this. And only he understands how to do it. And he has to reveal to each one of us how he did this. So it's important what we believe. It's important what we understand, because we can understand and believe a lie and be damned for believing the lie. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. And let's get verse 8. Yeshua HaMashiach, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Messiah, once he comes into being as Messiah, from that point on, he takes on the nature of the Most High as being eternal, going to be forever. Now, if we understand him to be separate, a separate being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost being separate beings, then now we have a Son that exists from the time that he was born and he resurrected from the dead. He's eternal from that point. But we know that Messiah is more than just a man. So we're going to get into this. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 17. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise Elohim, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our King, eternal, is the Most High. He is the King of Israel. But this is referring to Messiah. So we have to understand that Messiah himself is the King Eternal, that he's immortal, and in his true form, he's invisible. But as a man, he was visible. He was the manifestation of the Most High, visible, invisible form. Why is that important? Why is it that he needed to do this? Just to save man? More than just to save man. So let's see how he did this. We're going to review a few things. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yah, I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. are married to you. Go back up to verse 8, because that's where it's going to, that's where it's going to end up at when Israel turns back to him. Verse 8, and I saw, so we're still in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I have put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Now, I said that I would find the scripture where the Most High also divorced Judah. It's in the scriptures. I haven't found it yet. I know I've read it before, that he also divorced Judah. And I think it was after Messiah came, because of them rejecting Messiah, that he divorced Judah. But I will find it. But understand, as far as Israel goes, the Most High put Israel away because they would not return to him the way that he said, but it would happen in the future. Now, what is this, the nature and the law of marriage? Marriage ends, there's only one way in the scriptures that a marriage, that the Most High ever intended that a marriage would end. Go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 2. Romans chapter 7 and verse 2. For a married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. If her husband dies, she's released. Let's get the rest of this. 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So the intent of the law of marriage was that it would be between a man and a woman for life until one died. Now, if we equate that to the Most High is eternal. He can't die. And so the only way that Israel would ever, as a wife, would ever be able to go worship another God, or for God to be able to take Israel back, is that he died. Now, as a spirit, he's eternal and he cannot die. So what did he do? How did he handle this? So we know that the Most High is eternal. We know that he can't die. We know that marriage is forever until death do you part. So technically speaking, as the Most High, as Elohim, once the Most High entered into a marriage as Elohim, it was forever. He can't die. And he said that he would keep Israel forever. Even though he gave Israel a bill of divorce, he knew in the future that he would be taking Israel back, and he has to make a way for that. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 37. O Yah of hosts, Elohim of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art Elohim, you are God, even thou alone. There's no other. There's not two, there's not three. When he says, let us make man, people are assuming that that is Messiah there, because they want to make Messiah exist with the Most High. And they want to make the Holy Spirit a separate entity from the Most High. So they say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. But that's literal. Those three are one, literally. Not in just in purpose or how do they put it? Yeah, they really say in purpose. You know, they have the same mind. But that is incorrect. Okay, they are literally the same being. So he dwells between the cherubim. He's Elohim alone. And all the kingdoms of the earth thou hast made, heaven and earth. So again, here in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 16, the Most High is saying that there is no other Elohim besides him. There is no son as Elohim. Doesn't mention a different spirit being Elohim with him, because if the Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity, then, and separate from God, God is not acknowledging him or her here. I alone am Elohim, and I alone created the heavens and the earth. Not me and somebody else. Go to Isaiah 44 and 24. And the reason why we're reestablishing these is because it's important for how he, for what he did. We have to understand this. Isaiah 44 and 24. Thus saith Yah, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee in the womb. I am Yah that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, and spread abroad the earth by myself. Again, alone and by myself. Of there being a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit as three separate beings. He never says that he created the earth by or through Messiah until it's understood by the New Testament writers that through, because of the flesh that he was going to come in, he created this environment for man, because the Most High wanted to be in this environment. And he had to come into this environment to correct some things, because day six, man got broken. Day one through five was perfect. It didn't sin against the Most High, but day six, man sinned against the Most High, and in order to fix it, the Most High was going to have to come as a man. He couldn't do it as Elohim, because he required blood, and Elohim as spirit does not have blood. So if we understand these things about God, the Most High himself, then we know that as God himself, as a spirit, he's eternal, he don't have blood, and his creation, he put man over the creation. He told Adam and Eve, have dominion and multiply. Dominion means power and authority. Adam and Eve, mankind is the god of this world, and we turned that authority over to Satan when we sinned. So Satan became the god of the world, but we really were the god of this world, and so much so that the only way that the Most High could affect change in the world, in the earth, was to come as a man himself. Dominion and authority in this realm. And you are the God of this realm. I gave you power and authority over everything in this realm. And you messed up. And your power and authority was taken from you. And your eternity, your immortalness was taken away from you. I told you, if you sin, then you shall die. Up until that point, you're going to live forever, like I do. So this system got broken. And the only way for the Most High to fix it was not from the position of God. Not from a position of God, as God the Father, as Spirit. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. The book of Zechariah chapter 12. And we want to see who's speaking here first. Because when we get down to a certain verse, I want you to understand who's speaking. It's important. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of Yah for Israel, saith Yah. So the one who is saying this thing, the one who is speaking through the prophet is the Most High. And that's what a prophet does. He speaks for the Most High. Saith Yah, which stretched forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. So you got to understand that we are spiritual beings infused in flesh. And the Most High formed the spirit that is within men. He's the one speaking. Now we're going to drop down to verse 10. Because the same Elohim is speaking in verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Now I want you to see the wording here. And they shall look upon me, the Most High, he's speaking. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And then he changes. And they shall mourn for him. It starts going into the third person. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. He's telling you that he's the one that's going to be pierced, not in spirit. And when it says, and they shall look, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, he's talking about himself in flesh. So I'm going to prepare a body. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. No, actually, let's go to John chapter 1. Because we know that the Most High said he created everything alone and by himself, okay? And it's setting up the foundation for what we are going to talk about today. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. Underline that last part. The Word was Elohim. The Word is Elohim. Word equals Elohim. Word equals God. Word is God. Okay. The same was in the beginning with God, his Word. Now, it makes it sound like or appear that there may be two. But as I've taught this before, the Word of the Most High is an active force by itself. The Most High speaks, and his Word goes about to accomplish what it is that he sent it to do. And it shall not return unto him void. It will go about to accomplish whatever he said. His Word, his voice, and the words that he speaks, that's how the Most High operates. He don't have to get up off his throne to do nothing. He just speaks it, and it is. He just did, and his Word has an event in it. It has a time in it. It has an action in it. It has a completion. It's the whole thing in one thing. So when he speaks something, his Word goes about to accomplish it at the time that he wants it accomplished. It's understood by his Word, because his Word is coming out of his thoughts. And I was thinking, you know, in the year 6 B.C. or 4 B.C., I'm going to come into the world as a man. That was already built into his Word. All he had to do was speak it, and his Word went about to accomplish. That Word for Messiah was spoken before the foundations of the world, before the world even existed. He spoke this. Excuse me. And his Word waited around. It just waited until the time should come that those words should be fulfilled and the word activated and Messiah came into the world. Okay? So this is the way his word acts. It is the Most High. He speaks his word and his words are him. So we have to understand, and the word was Elohim. It didn't say that the Son of Man was the word. The Son of Man is the manifest word of the Most High. I'm going to go into a body. Now, let's keep reading. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him. Didn't we just read the Most High said, I made all things what? Alone and by myself. So it's not talking about a separate entity. It's talking about the Most High. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is the creator of the world. In him, the one who made all things, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended or conquered it not. So this whole first four verses and verse five are about the Most High. Now the world has, if you automatically assign this understanding to Messiah before it says that it's Messiah, then you would miss what it's saying. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. You cannot separate the Most High from his Word. Everything is framed upon his Word. So if the Most High says it, it has to happen or it has to appear. That's his Word. And it's not separate from him. It's not apart from him. But it goes about to accomplish everything that he said. That's why the scriptures say, all things consist of him. All things are made up of him because his word went about to create everything, to accomplish everything. Out of his word came all these things. In him we have our being. By his word, he spoke it, and his word went about to accomplish it. So he spoke about there being a Messiah. And he spoke about that this being, that there's going to be a body prepared for this being. Now, it's written again, in such a way, in a third person, that you think it's going to be a being separate and apart from the Most High. That's why he said, I speak to them in parables. I speak to them in riddles. He used to speak to Israel plainly. Israel corrupted themselves. And he said, you know what? I'm no longer going to speak to them plainly. I'm no longer going to reveal to them my secrets. But you know what? This being, Israel, the one I chose to be my priest, when I tell them things ahead of time, then they say they already knew it. So I'm not going to do that anymore. They claim it like they know they knew it before the Most High told them. So we have to understand it, okay? Let's drop down to verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. He, the creator of the world, the one who made all things, and without him was not anything made, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, reiterates itself. And the world knew him not, didn't know who he was. And for the most part, they still don't know who he is. He's the creator of the world, and the creator of the world said, I did this alone and by myself, and I don't know any other Elohim. Now, we're reestablishing this so that we understand who came, because this has all to do with how he can take Israel back, how he can circumvent his own law that if a man marries a woman and divorces her, and she goes or puts her away and she goes to marry another man, she cannot return to her first husband since she is defiled. She's known two men. She's defiled. Her back. How did he get around that? That it was against the law to take her back. So he comes as a man. Starting verse 10 again. John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let's drop down to verse 14. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh. We know that the Word is God, is Elohim. Was made flesh and dwelt among us. And how did we say we were going to know him? We know who he is. He's the only God. He said, but I want you to know me, a.k.a., and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to know me in the flesh as the begotten of the Father. But it's me, the Father, in flesh. And when I'm in flesh, you're going to know me as the Son. But it's the same spiritual being. There's not two separate spirits in Messiah. There's not the Spirit of God, the Father, as we know him as the Father, and the Spirit of Messiah separately as a man. Because we even misunderstand some of those scriptures. The same being. So he said his Word became flesh. The Word was him. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. Now I want you to know me in this form as the Son of Elohim. But it's me, Elohim. It's me, God. But I'm in his flesh, you're going to know me as the Son. I need this vessel for multiple purposes, for multiple reasons. The Most High has to reveal them to you. Give you an, oh, you were also doing this. Okay. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, when he, Elohim, cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Now, speaking as though the Most High prepared a body for a separate being. To give you the understanding, he is that being. And he wrote it this way so that people would not understand. He has to give the understanding. So he prepared a body for himself. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O Elohim. Again, this is written in a way to make you believe or to think that Messiah is a separate entity altogether from the Most High. But the Most High came into the world to fulfill his own will. This is what I want. This is what I intended from the very beginning. That you would worship me, the Most High. That I would be your Savior. I would be your Redeemer. I would be your King. But it's written this way so that he has to give the understanding. But everywhere he tells us, I am your King. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I'm the one that's coming into the world. Isaiah, tell them who's coming to see them. Behold, Israel, behold your Elohim, your God. And so, in function, God is not a man. He don't have the nature of a man. But he became a man, part of him at least. And then he put the fullness of himself in this man when the time was right for the ministry. See, Messiah did not walk on the water as a man. He walked on the water as the Most High, in the body of a man. I rule all of this. I give you the authority to rule all of this if you will just put step into it. That's why I said we don't really believe all the power that he's given us, that he gave us from the beginning. But that's another story. Messiah came into the world as a man. And he needed to do this to correct what was destroyed in the garden, to correct and be able to take back his wife that he had divorced, who had messed around with another man. So how does this work? When Messiah went to the cross and died on the cross, that body, as the Son, died, the Most High also gave himself credit for death. Now the relationship between me and Israel is broken as husband and wife. Because I promised that I would not completely remove Israel from the world. As long as the stars and the moon, the heavens and the earth existed, so shall your seed remain before me. So the bride is never intended to die out. He would utterly have to kill every Hebrew Israelite and their descendants for the covenant to be killed by killing the woman. He had already made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that that would never happen, that their seed would inherit the kingdom. But I divorced her, and she went a-whoring after another man, another God, and now she want to come back to me. And by my law, I can't take her back. I know I'll come into that dominion as a man, and I will die and end that relationship. Now, since I have died on the cross, I can now, that relationship is over. When we do that, we don't come back. We don't have the ability to come back. But the Most High does. So that relationship is over. And then he resurrects. Now I can start a new relationship with the same being that I was formerly married to, because I ended that relationship by death. I hope we can hear this and see this. I ended the relationship. I ended the marriage with her something I couldn't do from the position of the Most High in spirit form, because I can't die in spirit form. But I made a body for myself. And I came into the world, and I inhabited that body, and I allowed that body to die. And then I resurrected that body. So when I allowed that body to die, I also dissolved the marriage. All marriages end at death. And we read that law. Go back to Romans chapter 7 and verse 3 so we can get this concept down. Because it applies to the Most High, and this is how he did it. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married, the Most High as Israel's husband, even though he divorced her, it was never intended that she would remarry. And when she did, then he couldn't take her back. She be called an adulteress. If she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. So the Most High says, I promise that I would, that your seed would always be here. I promise that I was going to take you into my kingdom. You're going to be my bride in the kingdom. You're going to be part of my holy city, my holy plan. So I can't kill you off, all of you. There will always be a seed, which means that I would always be married. Now I got an adulterous wife. I can't die, and I promised that I wouldn't kill her off, eternally. So how do I get around that? Let me prepare a body for me. Let me come into the world. And let me die as a man and terminate this marriage. Now this marriage is over. There is no law saying that a person that is resurrected, that lives again, can't take the same person as a wife. But there is a law saying that as long as your husband liveth, the woman can't marry another man and then come back to her first husband. Neither can the husband, after she has done that, take her back. So the Most High says, all right, I will come in the body of a man and I will die. And I will resurrect. And I will again be able to take this woman as my bride. I won't be breaking my law because I fulfilled the law. See how it says when Messiah fulfilled the law? I fulfilled the law. I fulfilled the requirement in the law that one of us has to die. Your husband has to die, and then you are free to remarry whoever you want. And if the husband dies, then in our case, the natural sense, we're not coming back to be able to take another wife or to marry this wife again because we ain't coming back. But yeah, Yah was able to come back. And he says, from this position now, not from the position of the father, but from the position of son, I'm going to take you as my wife again. So he found a way to circumvent and to fulfill his own law. I, as the Most High, am going to come in a body of a man. I'm going to allow you to kill me. That's going to sever this relationship. Because technically speaking, I can't take you back. So let me get around the technicality of it by taking on the form of flesh and dying and then resurrecting myself. I died in the flesh. Now I can take you back. But not from the position of father, but from the position of the son, this position that I instituted to be able to do all these things. So from the position of son, I'm going to take you again to be my bride. You again, that we can come into this covenant relationship. Not up under the old covenant, because the old covenant was made for me as the position of father, your creator. The one who put the spirit in you. A separate spirit from myself that made you who you are. I can't marry you from that position. I can't become your husband again from that position. So the Most High created another position. He says, and in this position, you're going to call me the son of Elohim. And from this position and from this work, I'm going to come into the world and I'm going to die. And I'm going to fulfill my own law. I'm going to make a way where there's no way. You as the adulterous wife, there's nothing you can do that would allow me to take you back. You can't fix it. You broke it, but you can't fix it. And see, a lot of times in natural life, we do things and we don't understand that we put ourselves in situations that are contrary to the Most High. They are contrary to him and his way and his law. So he says, you can't fix this. I have to fix it. I'm the only one that can fix it. I gave you the law concerning this. And you broke that law, and there's no provision within that law for me as the Father, as the creator of the universe, to take you back. I'm eternal. I entered into a marriage relationship with you, and I can't die. From this position of being your husband, I can't die. But I have the ability to make myself a body to your realm. And I, as the son, will die. And I'm going to, when I die, I'm going to also be sinless. I can't sin. And as the son, I cannot sin. I can't transgress and break my own law. So I'm going to be that perfect for you, that blood sacrifice that the blood of bulls and goats could never fulfill. A bull and a goat didn't sin against me. It was you. And your blood was tainted, and I couldn't use your blood to redeem you. I couldn't take your life, because if I took your life while you were in sin, then your only place to go is the lake. The torment that I've already set up. That's the only option you have. You can't fix what you broke. So I'm going to come and fix it. And I'm going to come and circumvent my own law. No other being could do this. No, you know, Satan and his minions wouldn't want to do it. The angels are not supposed to marry or really be born into the world. Most I says, this is something I got to do. My creation is in trouble, and it's been in trouble since day six. Man broke it. A man sinned against me. And I made man the god of this world. Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and power over everything. in this world. And he never told man to have dominion over other men, but that became man's nature. And because, see, I know what was in Eve, that the sentence that the Most High gave Eve was not to condemn her. It was to correct something that was in her. The discipline that he gave her, the discipline that he gave Adam, it was not to destroy them, but to correct what was in them. Satan knew what was in Eve's heart and what he talked to her. That wasn't the first conversation they had. Satan don't know jack about you until you reveal it. You reveal it, what's in you. Then he tempts you in those things. He don't know ahead of time what's in you. He's not like the Most High. You, by your actions and your words, reveal to Satan what is in you. So let me tempt you with this. Oh, you didn't bite that. Let me tempt you with this. No, you didn't bite that. That those things ain't in you. But then he finds something that is. So with Eve, it was power. It was authority. It was, she wanted to be like the Most High. That's how Satan could tempt her with that. That was in her. So the Most High says, oh, you got that nature? Then submit yourself to your husband. Submit yourself to the man. That was not that way from the beginning. They were equal. He gave them dominion. Not him. Them. But because of this nature that was in her, I need to correct that. This is not to destroy you. But this is to correct what's in you. Submit yourself unto your husband, and he shall rule over you. You want to be a ruler? That's your nature. You can't be equal. You got to take over. Submit yourself. He didn't tell the man to make her submit. He told her to submit herself to her husband. But it wasn't that way from the beginning. This was to correct a nature. And what he told Adam, hey, I made it easy for you. I let you till the garden, just pull the weeds. You didn't have to sweat. And the land brought forth to you abundantly. And you didn't appreciate that? So now thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat from the sweat of your brow. You not appreciative? Let me show you what hard work is all about. To correct what was in him. So this is what he did. So we got to understand that. Now I need to fix. I need to fix what is wrong in the world. Because the creation has gone off course. And what I intended has gone off course. And the only way I'm going to correct that is to come as a man. And to die for Adam, for man, but also at the same time so I can reestablish a relationship with my former wife, which my law says I can't do. Not from this position. So I'm going to change position. I'm going to create a position for myself. I'm going to put myself in flesh. I'm going to come and die. I'm going to sever. I'm going to use that same thing to sever the relationship that I had with the first wife. With my first wife, I'm going to sever this relationship. Now I can take her back because I'm resurrected and I can take her back. How he did it. By his death. All relationships end at death. So I fulfilled the law. Now, people understand that Christ fulfilled the law in that he died for us. They don't really understand nor ever teach that. Oh, yeah, and it enables him to take his wife back. the one that he wasn't allowed to take back by his own law. He had to fulfill the law in all areas. In all ways. So I told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let's go get that verse. I think it's in Jeremiah 31, but just a second. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Starting in verse 22. Isaiah, chapter 66, starting in verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come before me, saith Yah. And I'm looking for another verse. Just a sec. Let's see here. Give me a hot second. Because words are a little bit different. But there's another verse that says specifically that he would always, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars would have to stop before he would get rid of Israel. Yeah, I thought it was Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And we're going to start in verse 35, somewhere in that area. Let's start in verse 31, Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. This is what this new covenant is all about. His death is not just to save all of mankind, but it's also Israel back in the position of a wife with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which by covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now that means that Israel has to accept Messiah. Okay, this is what this means. And they're going to be able to enter into the new covenant. And so will the Gentiles. Verse 35, thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances, the rising of the sun, giving light by day, or the moon rising at night, and the stars coming out at night, if those ordinances, those laws, depart from before me, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. So as long as the sun is coming up in the day and giving light, and the moon and the stars are coming out at night, the Most High says, the seed of Israel will always exist. And at that, on and off, as a nation. So this next time that he comes back to reestablish Israel. It's going to be again in the former position, but in the New Jerusalem. I'm going to take you back because by my law, I can't take you back. But I'm going to fulfill my own law. Your husband is going to die. And I'm going to get back up. I'm going to do something that no mere mortal man can do. So I'm going to fulfill my own law. Verse 37, thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I also will cast off the seed of Israel for all they have done unto me, saith Yah. Says, if heaven above can be measured, and if the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. You know, there's still today places in the ocean that they have not, they know more about outer space than they do know about the oceans on this planet. Places in the ocean they cannot go. But that's why they're trying to go there. That's why they're trying to search out. How big is the universe? Can measure it, then the Most High can't keep the seed of Israel. He has to cast them off. Don't, I want you to understand the demonic thing behind this. They're not really interested in what's out there and how the Most High did it. They want to measure it. If that would fulfill his word, if it can be measured. If we can know everything about the foundations of the earth, if we can search that out beneath. They haven't been able to do either one, but the whole purpose is not for knowledge. This is demonic. So that the Most High would have to break Israel and Israel would stop being his people and his bride. But he used that office of Messiah to accomplish so many things, to fulfill his own law. So I don't have to circumvent my law. I'm going to do what my law requires. It requires that the husband dies. Messiah, and he dies. Severs that relationship. Now I can take you back unto myself. I fulfilled my own law. Now, we should be so appreciative of what the Most High did. We should not circumvent what he did. See, when we have understanding of everything that he's done, then we don't want to walk contrary to him. We don't want to walk contrary to him. We don't want to break his commandments. We don't want to break his law. But we want to walk in lockstep with him. Here it is, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything, known and unknown, because we still don't know everything he created. We can't even fathom it. I'm not even going to show you guys this stuff. I'm only going to show it to those that are worthy, and I'm not going to show it to them until I make them eternal again. If you couldn't travel to even see this stuff. And man is trying to do it by telescopes and by sending spaceship, telescopes that go out into outer space to see further. And they still can't see to the end of his creation. No matter what they do, They can't make these verses. They can't fulfill these verses. The Most High knew what he was said and how he said it. He knows what man's nature is. I'm going to make a way out of no way. I'm going to make a way that I can provide a vehicle that all men might be saved through. Might. He didn't say will. Might be saved through. Because he knows all men are not going to accept and do what he says to do. Even when they hear it. That's why he says we have to come to him with a pure heart. And he will reveal these things. I need to straighten out my relationship with the apple of my eye. The apple of my eye was a whorish woman. Time and time again, she cheated on me. Up until the point that I divorced. And then she went and married another one, another man. Because if we're divorced, there's nothing saying that you can't get remarried. Unless you go marry somebody else. Then you can't come back to the first. Most I says that is an abomination. It is corruption. It is defilement. So we couldn't do it. And he said, so by my own law, I can't take you back. But I'm going to fulfill my own law. I'm going to come in the form of a man. And I'm going to allow you to kill me. And I'm going to use that to sever this relationship. I'm going to fulfill the law. Three, you go worship whatever you want to. I have to find that verse. Because he tells Israel that. Go and worship whoever you want to worship. And bother me no more. Because that relationship that we had is over. But there's only one true Elohim. So if you make the same mistake, the end is going to be the same. I'm going to throw your butt in the lake. But if we know, if he has chosen us, then we know that we have to return to him with our whole heart. We have to be obedient to him with our whole heart. And he says, I know that you have been in a corrupt state for so long. So this is my standard for you. If you know something is against me, and you that something is against my laws, and you know it, and you do it, there is no blood for that. That blood that I shed for you that allows you to come back to me and become my bride again, you just cancel that. Because I even lowered myself to become a man. To straighten out this situation that I made, this law that I made as the Most High, Elohim. As the Creator, I made this law. And the only way for me to get around this law was to fulfill this law. So I came as a man and died. And I fulfilled that law. And now I'm able to take you back as my bride. And if you go and transgress again, and you worship other gods again, you go fornicating again, you go a whoring after other gods again, I'm not coming back to do that again. And you can't put that up under the blood. We have to understand and know what he's done. And if we find ourselves in that position, then we definitely need to fall on our face and ask him for forgiveness. And perhaps he will be merciful. I can't say that he will or he won't. But if you know this is where you want to be at, then you have to do and show that, hey, I want to be with you. I don't want to be with nobody else. And perhaps he will take us back. Because we had the nature of our forefathers. And we live in a land, and we want to make the excuse that the land that we're in, we got to follow its way. The scriptures say no. Every example that we have in the scriptures, when they were in captivity, when they were up under another ruler, and that ruler made laws that were against the Most High, that were contrary to the Most High's ways, bow down to the statue. Most High says, you shall not bow down yourself to anything but him. Worship these gods of wood and stone. Celebrate their feast days. Now, these are my feast days. These are my holidays. Celebrate feast days and holidays of other gods, other deities, of other men. These are my Sabbaths. These are my feast days. These shall you honor. But Most High, the land that we're in, they have this holiday. And this is what they do on it. And we don't even think about it that way because we don't even think to put the Most High in it because we don't know any better. And we can say that we did those things out of ignorance because we didn't know. You can bring that to him. I didn't know. I didn't understand. And he is true and just to forgive you. But you got to let it go. Can't keep holding on to it. Because then you truly weren't repentant. We're not repentant. And so I came as a man that I might take back who married somebody else. Because I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that of their descendants, would I establish my kingdom, and they would be in my kingdom. So I got to fix this. And Messiah is the fix. Your Elohim as a man said, I'm going to come and die on the cross for your sins. You transgressed. You went a-whoring after other gods. You broke the marriage. That's why the salvation is to the Jew first. You broke the marriage. These other nations have not known me like this, have not been in a relationship with me like this. I didn't choose all nations to be my bride, to be their husband. Let me save you first. So we got to understand. We have to appreciate that. We have to value that. We can't do nothing to go back and break that again. Break the second covenant. So he said, go to Hebrews 10. So that we make sure we read this, so that we make sure that we have understanding, so that we don't do this. Hebrews 10, starting chapter in verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. so that you have a better understanding of this. Saying that Messiah came and died and broke the marriage contract so that he could take us to himself again. Not from the position of father, but from the position of son, but it's the same being. So from a position of father, he's eternal. For if we sin willfully, know what you're doing. You knew that your forefathers were horrid. They love worshiping other gods. They love fornicating with these gods. Let me go burn some incense. Let me light a few candles. Let me bow down on my face and say a couple of ritual things, whatever they do. Let me cut my wrist. Let me do whatever they do. It's fornication, spiritual fornication. And then when you wholly turn yourself to that being, then you have married. Most I says, I can't take you back. So I came and I died on the cross that I might end that relationship of marriage. I have fulfilled my law. Now I can take you back. So now, if you willfully transgress against me, that's what sin is, transgression of my law. If you willfully transgress against me, after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. You know what I did for you. You know why I did it. You know what I did for mankind. You know why I did it. And the fact that I did it, and you won't stay straight, you won't obey, not only is there no blood for this, I can't be in a relationship with you. In the end, I'm just going to tie you up and throw you in the lake. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. What do you have to look for? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. This judgment is the penalty. It's not the trial. You get judged in a trial after the trial is over and all the evidence has been presented. It's the ruling. That's the judgment. So you have a certain looking for of judgment, a ruling, not in your favor, and fiery indignation. Fiery is referring you to the lake of fire, which shall devour the adversaries, the enemies, because you are the apple of my eye. Mankind was my crowning creation in this environment. Israel, you were the apple of my eye of all my creation in this environment. And you have chosen to be my enemy. You have chosen to be my adversary. I don't love you anymore. Law. Died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment, how much sorer punishment, suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim? How much do you think more punishment do you deserve? Who have trodden underfoot the one that came and laid down his life that you might be able to enter back into a righteous relationship with him and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy or an unclean thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, I will repay you, saith Yah. And again, Yah shall judge his people. So you got to understand, when he says judgment and judging, you hear the case, then you make a ruling. That ruling is the judgment. And inside of the judgment is either you're going to be found innocent or guilty. If you're found innocent, you get to go your way. You get to enter into the kingdom at peace with him. If you're found guilty, he says you're going to the lake. I will repay you for what you did. You can't appreciate me coming in the form of a man, lowering myself lower than the angels who I created to become like you so that I could fulfill the law that I gave you. And I can fulfill the law. The angels don't even have a Bible. It says the angels don't get married. And the angels don't have babies. And they don't have sex. So how the angels corrupted themselves when they saw the daughters of men and that they were fair. Something else is going on there. I don't believe that those are heavenly angels. How do you as a being that have never known sex, don't even have a sex organ, don't desire to have sex? That doesn't even compute. But because of who we were and how he made us and put us in this body, and he made us male and female, he put this nature within us. This nature was not in the angels. The nature of male and female, the nature to reproduce, to procreate, that is not in the angel. Put that in man and woman. And he gave us the equipment to reproduce that way. So the only way I could see that an angel could do that, he would have to possess a man. Spirit enter into that man. Because remember, the Most High made us and he formed the spirit that is in us. So the only way that an angel could ever fulfill that or even have those desires is that he put himself in the body of a man, literally possessed a man. Another topic. I pray that we understand and that we're able to see how the birth of Messiah, the Most High coming in the form of flesh, made a body for himself that he might redeem his bride, his wife, whom he by his own law could not take back because of what she did. Baby, you know, we don't get along right now, and it's best we go our separate ways. I'm going to give you a bill of divorcement. And as long as she don't sleep with somebody else, as long as she don't marry somebody else, there's nothing in the law that says you can't take her back to be your wife or your husband. Nothing in the scripture that prevents that. Matter of fact, we're told in the New Testament, if the wife leaves her husband, she's not free to remarry from the very beginning. He says, but if your spouse or your spouse, let's put it that way, if they don't want to serve the Most High the way that you serve him in spirit and in truth, if they don't want to accept Messiah that way, then you're not up under bondage to that law. But if they desire to stay with you, just don't put them away. So we have to walk in his law, his statutes, his commandments. We can't pervert his law to suit our own needs. He said, I came in the flesh that I might take you back unto me. This is how he's talking about. The world was never in a relationship. Israel was. Israel corrupted itself so that to the point that the Most High couldn't take Israel back. You saying you sorry ain't enough. You being repentant ain't enough. I said you can't come back. You have gone and been with another. Have forsaken me. You can't come back. Now, I want you back. Find a way to fulfill my own law. So I'm going to come as a man and die on the cross and end that relationship so that you can return unto me and I can take you back. But this time, if you come back, don't come back half-stepping. Don't come back with your whorish ways. That's why I divorced you the first time. So when he says there ain't no blood for that, there is no way back after that. No way back into this relationship. You have done it again. I pray we hear this and understand it. And that we stay faithful to the Most High. If you are serving any other gods in any capacity at all, if you're allowing it, that you stop. Put away those foolish things. Because they're going to end you in the lake. They're going to make you an adversary of the Most High. And that is the final judgment. I'm going to repay you. I'm going to get you for what you did. And I'm going to start at my own house. Judgment starts at the house of Yah. I'm starting with y'all. And then the Gentiles who said that they belonged to me and did the same thing, I'm going to get them too. I'm only taking the faithful out of both groups. That's why it's important that you understand the truth and you walk in it. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much, Father, that you would consider us valuable enough to you that you would reestablish, make a way that we could reestablish a relationship with you. And that you could take us back to you. And Father, that we would not blow this opportunity. That we would not be unappreciative. You with our whole hearts, Father. And that we would follow your ways. That we would keep your commandments, your statutes, your laws, and your judgments. That we would not go about to establish our own righteousness because we don't agree with your judgment. Help us to repent, Father, if we are in need of repentance. Help us to walk in your ways if we become weak. Know that the end reward is far greater than what we are going through even right now. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, on this evening in spiritual warfare, it is Black History Month, but we've been in Black History Month for over a year. We're studying Black history. We will continue in that vein on this evening. We will go into, I think we got up to like the 1300 BC or whatever it is on the blackhistoryinthebible.com site. We're going to continue in that and looking at the evidence that the people who are of the people of the book, they were a people of color, that the, you know, the this history has, they have tried to rewrite this history, they have tried to whitewash it. And because they did not want us to know who we are as a people, they try to change history, try to make certain things seem unimportant. And as long as we're worshiping an Elohim that looks like them, then they don't feel like we should have a problem. But if we say Elohim looks like us, or the Elohim of the Bible belongs to us, he's our Elohim, then they have a problem. That's why he says, don't create any image of anything in the sea, in the heavens, anywhere that you think looks like me. But they made our Elohim look like themselves and said, this is who we should worship. This is why this is important. We want to worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. And the Most High has made provisions that all men might come to him, and all men can become part of Israel and become part of the body of Messiah. You got to come in spirit and in truth. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I do not have a heaven or a hell to put you into. My job is simply to show you. I can't make you do any of it or accept it. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Enjoy the rest of your day. Shalom.
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand. need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, why he lives forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Yahoo, why he lives forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever.
All right, shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to you all. Peace and blessings.